It's like dropping an injured antelope into a cage of hungry lions.
This is the Friday Scrum Edition of the Habs Lunch
on TSN 690.
Take him long to be known throughout the land. He's all-star right winger of the NHL today. Hockey fans from everywhere just love to see how he plays. He's one of the Red Wings, a team of great renown. And when it comes to hockey, how's the best in town?
Welcome back. It is the Friday Scrum edition of Habs Lunch on TSN 690. Very special edition, as you know by now. Gordie Howe has passed away at the age of 88. Mr. Hockey. It's Mitch Melnick along with Knuckles Nylund.
Mitchy boy.
Tony Marinaro.
Hello, Mitch.
The Seanster Sean Campbell.
Yes, sir.
Rod Francis is here.
Hi, Mitch.
A man who had to defend against Gordie Howe through a good chunk of the 60s and early 70s. Pat Stapleton, one of the finest defensemen of his era, is going to join us in just a few minutes. We have heard already Tony talking to Yvon Cornway, and the tributes will continue. We'll get in touch with a couple of more people. But I know for a fact, right out of the gate, that of the people here in the studio, there was only one of us who actually was on the ice in an NHL game at the same time as Gordie Howe. And it ain't you, Tony.
Yeah, I was after Gordie.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it was an honor to, I guess looking back now, I remember it happening. And it's funny, my first year when I was in Halifax, we were playing in Springfield. And Marty Howe was coming around the net, and he was pretty chipper player. You know, he played physical. He would chop you, hack you. And you know, the game got a little physical. Anyway, he was coming around the net, and Knuckles was on the forecheck, and I tracked him. And he just come around the net, and I hit him and knocked him on his butt. Anyway, I broke his arm.
You broke Marty Howe's arm?
Yeah, broken arm from hitting him. I didn't slash him. I hit him. It's the way he come around the net and the way I hit him. Anyway, later that season when I got called up, we were playing in Hartford, and Gordie Howe, they were talking about the game and, you know, why he's still playing. He said, well, half the reason I'm playing is not here, and that's my son Marty broke his arm down in. And I'm thinking, oh, well. And if you saw the picture I tweeted, Gordie Howe's stick is, he just took a pretty good swipe at me. He's lucky I didn't see that.
Couldn't catch you.
Yeah.
He couldn't catch you. You were saved by the net?
Did
was that around the net?
You see me taking off? No, it's up the coming up the wing. But did you see me taking off? I mean, that's a pitcher. That's NHL, yeah, baby. I got the puck there.
You were out racing a 52-year-old.
Yeah,
way to go.
I had to outrace someone. And, you know, it just, I remember that like it was yesterday. I also remember after the game, Pierre LaRouche going up to Mr. Hockey and asking him for a stick, and Gordie gave him a stick and actually signed it for him right there. And it was just cool, you know, to be on the same ice with him. Gordie Howe was a huge Knuckles Nylund fan. And I say that because we were in Hartford playing the Russians and he in Canada Cup.
And, oh, Canada Cup 76. Yeah.
And he, no, afterwards.
Oh, 80. Yeah, of course, Canada Cup 80, and Knuckles was on the U.S. team, right?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. So he,
that was a bad U.S. team.
And he's down in Hartford at the time, and he ended up, he walked up to me before the game. He said, come on, Knuckles, get those Russians. So I'm like, okay. And then we're out in the ice for the anthem afterwards, and this was before in the hall he told me that. And then we're on the ice for the anthem, and I was standing over toward the boards, and the thing was there, and he said, come on, Knuckles, I told you, get those Russians. And that was the game Gary Suter chopped the Russian in the face and cut him like wide open. But he was he'd always see me and be friendly, nice to me, very humble man. Just a good Gordie Howe was just a good guy, and all the people around him. I was at a ball hockey tournament in Kingston one year, and he was there, and God, he was just friendly. He gave everybody time. He recognized everybody. He was just a good man.
He was to English Canada in many respects what Jean Béliveau was.
Yes,
that you know,
100%.
People could point to Gordie Howe and say that's Canada.
Absolutely.
And as Canadians, you're so proud of that.
And Mitch, what we're seeing is taking ownership of Gordie Howe's legacy, like Western Canada, I'd imagine, especially like English speaking Canada. But since he was from Saskatchewan, Western Canada, and then Detroit took ownership and Hartford and so many pockets of North America want to be a part of Howe's legacy.
So among the many milestones and unbelievable numbers, Liam McGuire joined me earlier today. Get this, right? From 1949 to 1969, Gordie Howe finished top six in scoring. Top six in scoring for 20 years. Take a look at any sport and try and find any athlete who finished top six in scoring for 20 years. It's unbelievable.
Well, how many athletes played into their 50s?
Jaromír Jágr's, 43 years old.
He's got another 10 years to go.
We're marveling at him. He's got another 9 years to go. It's not going to happen.
Here is one of the final great moments for us here in Montreal of Gordie Howe.
Garrett will clear it to the other side for Mark Howe. Howe coming up on the right side. Howe over the line to his father. Son to father. Back in shot. They score! Number nine. Father Howe. And number five, Mark Howe. And the crowd appreciates that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Danny, so do I. It's just a pleasure to see this big guy out there. Look at the work he does here. Here's the backhand shot, and he had something on it, too.
It was Danny Gallivan and Mickey Redmond in the broadcast booth for Hockey Night in Canada. Sean, I know you're a big Whalers fan, but there's no way you remember this. This was the last stand of Gordie Howe and Bobby Hull together playing for the Hartford Whalers, playing out their careers, and the Canadians swept them in the first round of the playoffs. But you can, that was Danny Gallivan sensing the moment. This is it. We're not going to see this again. Father to son. And he made sure he said father to son, etc. And to see Gordie Howe score into his 50s at the Montreal Forum with his son, that was, it's chills to just listening to that.
He was honored here several times, right? Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Was he not part of the closing of the Forum ceremonies? Did they not bring him out on that particular?
Yes, before the whole red carpet treatment.
Yeah, they brought him
there.
Out on the 100-year anniversary, of course, the game that took place in December of a couple of years ago against the Boston Bruins when they brought out Knuckles. You were there, of course. They brought out the alumni. Gordie Howe was part of that evening,
was.
I believe.
Yeah.
There are a few other occasions when Gordie. Geez, I remember Gordie speaking.
The last time at the Bell, what was the last time at the Bell? I remember he came out. Who was?
He
came for the anniversary, right?
The 100-year anniversary.
The 100-year anniversary.
Yeah.
He came
and
out.
He spoke that night. Did he not speak that night?
I don't remember.
I remember him addressing the crowd at the Bell Center for whatever. I'm curious. Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
I just love players that just stand on their own for who they are. And, you know, you could try and find a comparable.
Thank you, Sean.
You know, you can try and find, but there's just one individual. They did what they did, and you think of Bobby Orr. There's never another Bobby. A Jean Béliveau and Gordie Howe, the Rocket. There's just so few of them left.
Actually, you could chop that even further down. How many athletes can stand alone on one name? Allie, Gordie. We're coming back to talk to Pat Stapleton on the Friday Scrum edition of Habs Lunch on TSN 690.
Debating the hot sports topic of the day, it's the Friday Scrum edition of the Habs Lunch
on TSN 690.
Oh, well, I played my first game, as a matter of fact. I was 19 years old at Detroit. That was my first game at the old Olympia. And when I had the phone call to go to Detroit, my first thing in mind was, wow, I'm going to play against those Gordie Howe and Del Vecchio and all the guys from Detroit who was the one Stanley Cup before. And so that was quite an experience.
Former Canadians, great former Habs captain, Yvon Cornoyer, earlier today on the Montreal Forum with Tony Marinaro. Welcome back. A special edition of the Friday Scrum Habs Lunch on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Tony Knuckles Nyland, Sean Campbell, Rod Francis. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show a guy who started his career a little before the Roadrunner did in the early 1960s, had a brilliant NHL career, mostly with the Chicago Blackhawks, also played on the WHA, key member of Team Canada 72, which we're honoring in September. It's a pleasure to welcome. I do believe he just got on a train at Union Station in Toronto. Pat Stapleton, how are you, Pat?
I'm really having difficulty hearing you.
Okay, I can imagine. Can you hear us any better right now?
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. What was it like to play defense in the National Hockey League against Gordie Howe?
Well, it was a lot like anybody that playing the left side defense, and he was a right winger. You know, he had this nasty habit of always wanting the puck. It was quite a competitor. I think the fact that he played in so many generations at a high level and still produced is kind of a tribute to his willpower or his body or whatever it is. That's why people have such great respect for him, of his competitive nature over that long of time.
Do you remember specifically your first game or shift against him?
I don't know whether I could do that. I mean, being in Chicago at the time that we started, there was only six teams, so you got to play him 14 times a year and maybe another seven in the playoffs. So there was a lot of competition going on, and maybe people today have a hard time understanding that because they don't play as many games against the individual teams as we did in that era.
So,
and then when we went to the WHA, 5 years of that, there was only like seven or eight teams, so we had a lot of competition against them.
Can you explain the differences, since you did play against him in both the NHL and in the WHA when he was an older guy but still very effective? How different a player was he, or was he a different player?
Well, I think he was the same player, but I think he was a very proud person because of the fact that he played with his boys, right? He had his boys on the team, his Marty and Mark, and, you know, he could you tell a difference? No, I mean... He made sure that he protected them when they were out there, too. So, a tremendous athlete and a great loss for the game, for sure.
Former longtime NHL defenseman Pat Stapleton on TSN 690, Mitch Melnick, Knuckles Nyland, Sean Campbell, Rod Francis, Tony Marinaro.
Pat, earlier on, Yvan Cournoyer told us that when Jean Béliveau broke into the league, that he was initiated by an elbow from Gordie Howe. And Jean Béliveau looked over and said, "Very nice to meet you, Mr. Howe." I'm wondering if a similar initiation took place with you and Gordie Howe and his elbow.
Well, you know, it was hard to compete with him without getting his elbow somewhere in the way. They seemed to reach a long way. And, you know, you had a lot of close combat with him because, as I said before, he wanted the puck. If you had it, he wanted it. And, you know, he wasn't above the law to get it, so...
Did you ever, you know, hang out with him? I know you didn't play on the same team, but in terms of, you know, off ice, through the years, banquets, after speaking engagements, that kind of thing, did you ever get a chance to hang out with him a little bit?
The only experience I had was in 74. We had a WHA team that competed against the Russians, which sort of mirrored the 72 series, and we had four games in Canada and four in Russia. And during the training camp and that, we were together more and got to know him a little bit better. But I once we got away from that, your friendship didn't mean a thing, right? Because when you went on the ice, he was still as crusty as ever. So,
Rod?
Pat, we hear the term power forward a lot in today's game. Would you use it to describe the times that you faced Gordie Howe?
Well, he was a powerful man, there's no question. You know, he had his strengths, and he played a lot with one hand. I don't know whether people knew that, but he could hold you off with one hand and play with the other hand. And he was ambidextrous. He could shoot both ways. Like, he would shoot, he'd switch his hands and shoot, right? They didn't have the curved sticks that they maybe used during the 70s and 80s. I don't know whether they're as curved today, but, you know, he used almost a straight stick that I remember.
It's interesting you talk about that ambidextrous nature. Some of us can recall Yvan Cournoyer doing that on very rare occasions. And Chris Chelios did that a couple times. Other than that, I've never seen anybody else do that. Have you?
How did it on a regular basis? I mean, just wherever the puck was, he could shoot it.
Chris, Nylund?
I did it once by accident.
I doubt if it was by accident.
Pat, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on a busy day, and very much looking forward to seeing you in September.
Good, guys. I appreciate the call.
Thank you very much.
Keep up the good work.
Appreciate it. That is Pat Whitey Stapleton, who played a long time in the National Hockey League and in the WHA with the Chicago Cougars.
Yeah, he must be alongside Serge today. I think
they're doing a lot of stuff in Toronto.
Yeah,
because Serge and Brad Park were here this past week earlier.
I just spoke with the big fella himself. So he's in Toronto. So I guess they're probably heading west.
Well, you know what they're doing is they're doing the 72 recreation on the exact dates of when the games were played in Montreal, Toronto, Winnipeg, and Vancouver. So today it's Toronto here in Montreal against September 2nd at Place des Arts. A little bit more from the Roadrunner.
Well, you always admire a good player. I mean, a lot of people said that Gordy was a little bit dirty with his elbow, but I don't think so. I think he was a strong guy, and, you know, he liked to keep the puck for himself, and you just had to go and try to take him out from him. And I think Gordy was a beautiful player to watch.
There was that famous pitcher, right? I'm just trying to remember who was in it, right? I say famous pitcher and I can't remember, but Gordy Howe was obviously in it. With the Wales Conference, I think the All-Star game, right? They were by the boards. I think Wayne Gretzky was in the pitcher and Gordy Howe was in the pitcher. And maybe Mike Bossy may have been in the pitcher as well. It's possible. No.
And from the Hartford Whalers, representing all of hockey with great distinction for five decades, number 9.
Don't even have to announce the name. That was when he came back to Detroit as a member of the Whalers, the 1980 All-Star game. That's got to be what you're referring to.
I think so, yeah.
And it was just a thunderous response from the crowd in Detroit, who, you know, his career in Detroit ended in 71. And that was it. And he was doing what Jean Béliveau was kind of doing. It was kind of like an ambassador role for the Red Wings. But he was terribly restless. And all of a sudden, the WHA comes calling. And he's got a chance to play with Mark and Marty. Can you, Chris, you've got, you know, for those of you especially, not just kids, but specifically sons, and you've played professional sports at the highest level, can you imagine the thrill of that, that very, very few people have had?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be incredible to, first of all, to play the game you love for so long, and then to be able to play it with your kids. What better way to be able to share something with your kids? That closeness. You have that closeness as a dad and a son. You have that relationship, but then you have the one on the ice where I'm sure if he was playing in that game in Springfield, he would have kicked my ass after breaking Marty's arm. Poor Marty.
Marty Howe, actually, little known fact, drafted by the Montreal Canadiens. He was already playing in the WHA, but Sam Pollock drafted him. One more time, then we'll take... Yeah, go ahead.
It's amazing to think that Gordy had to be, you know, of course he was Gordy Howe, but his sons had to be good enough to play at the level that he was playing. And then he had to be that good for so long to wait for them to be of age to get to that level. Like, how it worked out, it just boggles the mind a little bit.
Father, son in the Hall of Fame. How often does that happen in pro sports?
Garrett was cleared to the other side for Mark Howe. Howe coming up on the right side. Howe over the line to his father. Son to father. Back into it. They score! Number 9, Father Howe. And number 5, Mark Howe. And the crowd appreciates that.
It's like dropping an injured antelope into a cage of hungry lions.
This is the Friday Scrum Edition of the Habs Lunch
on TSN 690.
Gordy got to know Jean Béliveau in Quebec City. Jean was playing with Quebec Aces. And the Red Wings came up to play an exhibition game, and he said, and he told me this. I'd heard stories that this young man Jean Béliveau was quite a good young talent, and I was going to see whether I could test him. And Gordy took him into the boards a couple times. I think the second or third time gave him the famous elbow, and Jean picked himself up off the ice, dusted off his pants, and said, "Thank you, Mr. Howe. Nice to see you." And at that time, Gordy said, "I knew that this kid was going to make it." And he laughed many, many years later, saying, "I guess I was a pretty good talent scout, wasn't I?"
Dave Stubbs now with NHL.com with Tony Marinaro on the Montreal Forum earlier today. Welcome back. It is the Friday Scrum edition of Habs Lunch on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick with Tony, Knuckles Nyland, Sean Campbell, Rod Francis. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show the longtime vice president, general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, Ken Holland. Ken, our condolences to you and the Red Wings and all of hockey fans in the Detroit area.
Yeah, thank you. Obviously a very sad day for our sport, sad day for the Howe family, sad day for the Red Wing organization, fans of the Red Wings and fans of hockey. Gordy was one of the greatest players in the history of our game, and I also think he was the greatest, one of the greatest ambassadors of our sport. Not only when he played, but up until probably 3-4 years ago when his health started to deteriorate. So it's a it's a very sad day, a tremendous loss. But on the other hand, you think about the impact that Gordy's had on our game, helping growing our game, making people laugh, all the joy that fans got out of watching Gordy play the game and what he's meant to our game as an ambassador and helping grow the game. His life has had an incredible impact on thousands and thousands and millions of lives, maybe, of hockey fans throughout the world.
Dave was talking about Jean Beliveau, and if there, look, everybody is mourning the loss of Gordie Howe today, but specifically here in Montreal, I think we could feel it a little more, perhaps, acutely than others, and that's not to downplay the loss, but the feeling here when we lost Beliveau, It must be similar right now, specifically in the Detroit area, not just for the greatness, which younger people don't necessarily remember, the greatness of these players on the ice, but how they conducted themselves away from the ice.
Yeah, I was fortunate. About 1980, late 70s, early 80s, I was playing in Binghamton, the American League, minor league goalie in a farm team for Hartford. And obviously, Gordy was playing in Hartford. Mark was in Hartford. Marty Howe, I played with Marty a little bit in Binghamton. I got called up for about 3 weeks, and on that team was Gordy Howe, Dave Keehan, I think, and Bobby Hull. So I really got to know Gordy and Mark and Marty and the Howe family in the late 70s. The word that I would use about Gordy Howe would be humble. If I have to ask me one word about Gordy, how humble he was, you'd be in awe of him, and if you were in his presence, he'd make you laugh. He'd make you feel at ease. He'd make you feel it was just two people talking. He was so humble, so kind, so caring, and obviously an incredible father. The Howe children and the importance of for him to play with his sons in Houston in the World Hockey, and then he went to Hartford in the NHL. Just an incredible ambassador. When he'd come to Joe Louis Arena and he'd come, the last 10, 15 years he'd come here, he was never in any race to leave the conversation. He had time for everybody. He made you laugh. He made you feel good about yourself. I would see him talk to fans. He would stop and he would interact with fans and he would make them feel good. He'd have time for the fans. Just an incredible human being, an incredible ambassador.
With the executive vice president and general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, Ken Holland, on Friday Scrum Edition, special edition of Habs Lunch on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Knuckles Nyland, Sean Campbell, Rod Francis, Tony Marinaro.
Ken, Gordie Howe is the greatest Detroit Red Wing of all time. Did you ever lean on him for some advice?
When I played, I did. Back in the late 70s and early 80s, when he'd come down, and then obviously we brought Mark Howe onto our team in 93, 94, 95, and I think it was important to Mr. and Ms. Silich when they bought the team in the early 80s. They were season ticket holders. They were fans of the Red Wings. They grew up in the Howe era. It was important for them as owners to get the relationship with the Howe, with Gordy Howe and the Howe family back with the Red Wings. And then when Gordy, when Mark joined us, we would talk lots about hockey. Certainly any time you talked about hockey conversations, I was, anybody would be all ears. You know, he had, he would tell us stories about playing days. He'd make you laugh. I think that, I learned lots from Gordy Howe, but it's not like we sat down one conversation and he told me a bunch of information and I used it. It's just being around him. I think, you know, his hockey knowledge, but how he treats people, how humble he was, how he had time for everybody. I think those are also important traits for anybody in our game to treat the game with respect, to treat your teammates with respect, to treat the fans with respect, to have time for as many people as you can, because our players are ambassadors, and Gordy understood that he was one of the greatest players in the history of the game, and there was a love affair between Gordy and hockey fans and Red Wing fans, but I think hockey fans, because once you were, when you were around him, you could instantly see that this was a humble superstar, probably a lot like Jean Béliveau. The reason there's that love affair between Jean Béliveau and the Montreal Canadiens fans is he was a great, great player, but he was an even greater human being. That's Gordy Howe. He was a great, great player, but he was a better human being. He treated everybody with respect. So that's what I learned from Gordy Howe. When I was a player in Binghamton, I got called up. You know, he would talk things about hockey at the time. You know, you're always those people that have done it. You're always learning from them. But the thing that I learned from Gordy Howe early on when I was 25 years of age was, you know, how to treat people, how he treated people, how the Howe family treated people, how they treated their teammates. He was a role model for how to be a great ambassador, a great teammate, a great family man. He was, again, like Jean Béliveau, as great a player he was every bit as that as a human being, and maybe even greater.
Once again, the Executive Vice President and General Manager of the Detroit Red Wings, Ken Holland, thank you for taking the time this afternoon to join us, sharing your thoughts, and we're all thinking of you down there today. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
During my practice or during my playing years, you know, Gordy, Ted Lindsay, it was, you know, they had stalls in our locker room. We had, we still saved a stall for each of them with their name played up there. And they would come in, and whether it was a practice day, a game day, they were just around. And that was the, you know, just extra bonus for playing in Detroit, you know, having, you know, legends like them coming around. They were still factors in the community in a big way. And they're just beloved by anybody. I mean, you didn't even have to really be a huge hockey fan. You knew who Gordy Howe was. You knew, you know, more or less what he had accomplished.
Another longtime member of the Red Wings family who works for Kenny Holland on his staff now, and that is Kirk Maltby. And you can't really say the same. Maybe it's a little different since expansion in 67, but specifically the original six franchises. And, Chris, there's no better example than to grow up in the organization of the Montreal Canadiens and always see the greats around the Forum, right? And now the Bills.
Yeah, there was nothing like it. I mean, you know, it was similar to Boston Bruins, same, you know. Detroit, Milt Schmidt, Uncle Milty was there all the time, Johnny Busick around, Bobby Orr, guys you'd see all the time. And here in Montreal, I remember Dickie Moore, I remember Rocket coming in, all of them at one time or another. And, you know, you would interact with them. They'd come up and talk to you after the game. And, you don't see that anymore. And not that I care to do that, but, you know, for me, it was a treat to be able to do that. And, it was just fun to have that interaction and realize the greatness. I remember, you know, Dickie Moore would always tell me, you know, can't always be first on the puck. Come late. That's where you're going to score your goals. And I told him, Dickie, if I come late, I'm out of here. I'm not going to be playing. You know, it was just funny. You get little bits of information from guys. They'd help you out. And, you know, it meant the world to me. I mean, I remember the Rocket kind of, he went in the newspaper. I think he was a guest writer for the Gazette one time. And he, it was either the Star or the Gazette. I'm not sure which one. But he said to me, he said about me. He wrote an article about me, called me Rocket Nyland. And he said, you know, he's not just a fighter. He can play hockey. I've been watching him. And it was pretty cool. I mean, coming from a guy like that, that, you know, just give me so much confidence knowing that here it is. Here's the Rocket saying that I can play hockey. And he recognized me as more than just a fighter. So that, you know, those things there, they're invaluable and they're precious when I think back about those.
Well, but for the guys today, Chris, you would hope that at the very least, even if they don't have that immediate connection, like the guys today talking and speaking to the alumni players, I hope at the very least they go home and they Google the name and they learn about the player that they talk to.
Yeah,
okay?
Who knows?
Maybe they don't make that immediate connection, yeah. Chris, but at least look into it and establish that appreciation.
And the thing is, I get it. I see kids are busy. They're going. Some kids may be more historic about the game and look back on it than others. So, you know, it's not always going to be that way. Like, I just grew up with Bruins on the brain, but, you know, I knew guys around the league. You know, I knew the Keith Magnuses and I knew Pat Quinns and I knew all these guys around the league because I loved the game so much. And some guys, I don't know players today, if they're really look at the game historically like some of these original six cities do.
It's incredible everything we hear, though, right? That he was dirty, he was tough, he was rough, he was mean. And then you speak to everyone today, and they talk about Gordy away from the ice, and they talk about this man who was humble and nice and kind and funny.
Well, it's just like a lot of the fighters, don't
they? Yeah, it's exactly the same thing.
Seriously, I don't say that because Chris is here, but yeah. we've seen it. I mean, that seems to be a common thread. The guys who did most of the fighting in the NHL away from the rink were sweethearts.
Thank you, Mitch.
And you know, there are some advantages. There are some advantages to getting older. Like Chris and I are kind of in the same area code.
Yeah.
We actually can say we saw with our own eyes live in National Hockey League games Bobby Orr and Gordie Howe and Bobby Hull and Jean Beliveau.
I'm jealous. Moore. I'm jealous.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, like, you know, I mean, I'd rather be... I mean, I'm cool with who I am. I'm cool with my age and all that. But I'd like to be sitting here today saying I missed that.
In those days, of course, NHL teams flew commercial more often than not. And on Pilgrim Airlines, smaller planes, the Whalers were going to fly from Hartford down to Philly. Well, the flight was oversold, and I got bumped. And I was going to talk to Gordy on the plane, but I had to get off. So Gordy says, well, wait a minute, there's another flight in 2.5 or 3 hours. I'll just take the next one. So Gordy got off the plane with me. And we sat in the Hartford airport over a cup of tea and talked for 2.5 hours.
How about that? Michael Farber's favorite Gordy Howe memory.
Warning. The following program contains intelligent and informed debate. And maybe some yelling. It's the Friday Scrum edition of A Habs Lunch.
On TSN 690.
I wanted to have his sweater. I wanted to have his hockey cards. I got his Gordie Howe book when I was 6 years old. At one point, I even went to a haircutter and asked if I can get a Gordie Howe haircut.
The great one on Gordy. One of our listeners, as we wrap up a special edition of Friday Scrum edition of Habs Lunch on TSN 690, Mitch Melnick, Knuckles Nyland, Tony Marinaro, Sean Campbell, Rod Francis. You threw out what Liam McGuire told you on the Montreal Forum earlier, the 20-year, 49?
From 49 to 69, he finished top six in scoring.
Well, Ron from Cornwall, with some help from Ron in Cornwall, we actually found something that Gordie Howe did not accomplish in his NHL career. He never scored 50.
Nope, he never scored 50.
43, 47, 49, 44, 44, a lot of 30s.
He never scored 50. Well, now that changes everything.
Yeah, that's just overreaction.
Talked about this with Liam McGuire, and obviously a poor man's Gordie Howe, but is it safe to say that, you know, when the hockey that we watched in the 90s, that Mark Messier would be a comparable or the closest thing to the way Gordie Howe played the game?
I suppose because of the physical makeup of Messier, and Messier had those Rocket Richard eyes about him, right? Mm-hmm. Knuckles would be. Was there anybody that you played with or against that could be in
terms
of
I'd
how
say
he
Messier.
Looked on the ice.
Yeah, Messier so much. You know, he's big, strong, had all those qualities, you know. He had that nasty streak in him too, you know.
Sure did.
Don't piss me off.
Yeah, and created room for himself.
Yeah, of course he did.
That says a lot if Tony, you can go out and say, call him call Messier a poor man, right? Like, because it's Mark Messier, the guy who won all those Stanley Cups. It goes to show the magnitude, though, Tony, of Gordie Howe.
You're Another right. thing what? Was the Gordie Howe hat trick, right? But he only accomplished it twice in his career.
Yeah,
the Gordie Howe hat trick. He only accomplished it twice.
I don't know how many times I did it. I don't know if how many times I did it. I'd like to find out. Call up.
You might be the all-time leader without knowing.
No, I'm not even close. Not even close.
I've been told the all-time leader is Tockett with 18 and Shanahan with 17.
Yeah, that's there. You go. Two of the greatest power forwards ever.
Right.
Maybe we could call a guy over there at the Canadiens. That Beauchamp guy, Donnie Beauchamp, could look it up, couldn't he?
Oh, well, I played my first game, as a matter of fact. I was 19 years old at Detroit. That was my first game at the old Olympia. And when I had the phone call to go to Detroit, my first thing in mind was, wow, I'm going to play against those Gordie Howe and Del Vecchio and all the guys from Detroit who was the Stanley Cup before. And so that was quite an experience.
Once again, finishing up where we started almost an hour ago, Yvon Cornouaille, the Roadrunner, former Habs captain with Tony Marinaro on the Montreal Forum. It's also interesting. My earliest hockey memory is a 65 final Habs and Blackhawks in Game 7. And so the first season that I really paid attention to was 66-67 all season, the last year before expansion. And I loved Rogge Vachon. Rogge Vachon was this little goalie, cool-looking guy with the Elvis sideburns. I was a huge Elvis fan. I used to draw sideburns with my mom's eyebrow pencil, honest to God, and walk around thinking I was Elvis when I was 10. And Rogge Vachon's very first game in 1966, 30 seconds into the game, Gordie Howe had a breakaway on him, and Rogge stopped him. And that was like an exclamation point. I'm here, NHL. What an entrance to the NHL. They lost to the Leafs that spring, and Vachon and Gump-Worsley were the goalies. So that is my earliest really playing memory of Gordie Howe. So I missed his peak years. I got Gordie Howe as a fan from 66 through 71. And then, thankfully, the WHA. The problem for Montreal hockey fans with the WHA is the people here who were such NHL company guys, they pretended that the WHA did not exist. They didn't report. Yeah. They didn't show highlights. It didn't exist to any of them. And there were a lot of us who were interested in the World Hockey Association because of Gordie Howe and Bobby Hull and a lot of other guys, Pat Stapleton, who we had on earlier. And it was very, very difficult to find and get information of what these guys were doing in the WHA. So I had to be very creative. There was an old store, Metropolitan News Agency, Peel and St. Catherine.
Yeah,
they had all the out-of-town papers. Yeah. My dad used
Everybody
to go down there
used
and pick
to
up
the Globe there when
all
I
the out-of-town newspapers the and try to catch up with what was going on in the WHA because my own city ignored it.
Some of the most famous lines, we talked about this earlier this morning, read as well. There was the production line with Abel and Lindsay and Howe. There was the production line 2 with Lindsay and Del Vecchio. And then the production line 3 with Del Vecchio and Frank Mahovlich. Production line 1, production line 2, and production line 3.
I just love hearing stories that go beyond the stats, like Hockey DB, beyond that, like his elbow, his nasty streak, the fact that he was mean on the ice, but such a humble and kind person off the ice.
And the dedication, the obvious dedication between Gordie Howe and Colleen Howe cannot be forgotten or understated here. When I had Gordie Howe on several times, first time I had him on a late night show on CJD years and years ago in the early 90s, Colleen Howe pre-interviewed me. I didn't realize it was turning into a pre-interview, but I had to speak to her for 75 minutes. We had never met, and she wasn't going to let me go until she felt comfortable that I would interview Gordie for an hour on the air from his home in Detroit. And then the way he took care of her when she was ill, I mean, it's just, this is an iconic day in Canada, and how ironic that Muhammad Ali's funeral is going on at the same time. It's just... It's tough to wrap your mind around it, but rejoice in what they provided us. Right, Chris? I mean, we were lucky. We saw them.
Yeah.
You know, again, to see all the greats, and I think about all the names, like when I was a kid, hearing all those names repeatedly. Because, again, the original six, They were always in town. There was one team. You knew the other teams. You knew every guy in the league almost. You knew some of those great names. Christ, I even remember Sheldon Canagiza. How's that? Sheldon Canagiza.
We cannot wrap up an hour tribute to Gordy.
I know, but
that
just goes to show you. I remember them. Come on.
You can have your choice of all the rest. If you're a Howl fan, you've got the very best. There was Howl, Lindsey, Abel, a line we can't forget. The greatest line in history, not to be equaled yet. Sid went past the Lindsey, Ted then back to Howl. He flicked wrist and winding speed, and a big roar from the crowd. We mentioned before of his talents galore, and how makes it so easy to score. We all think he's great, his name will never fall. Gordy Howe is the greatest of them all. Gordy Howe is the greatest of them all. The greatest of them all, yes, the greatest of them all. You can have your choice of all the rest. If you're a Howe fan, you've got the very best. If you're a Howe fan, you've got the very best.